The good stuff.
I don't. The good stuff. when you want to make sure a cat doesn't show up, you don't give it the worst treat in the house. That's all.
Fair.
Hello, welcome to the Backpack Show, where we talk about animals,
pet care.
I don't know, pet care, stupid tricks. Who knows? It's the world changed time zones here in the States this weekend, and I don't know. I don't react to the time zone changes very well. Not my favorite.
I don't think anybody listens. No.
We
not my favorite.
But however, my father and my mother have both shown up today, yeah. So good to see them in Vegas. Who do we have on the show today, Hello. Carrie?
We have author James Cusimano. He's also an entrepreneur and technologist, a teenage rock star, and he runs a hotel and spa in the Czech Republic called Chateau Mzeli. And his new book we're going to talk about today is going to help you succeed in your own life. So I'm super excited about talking to him.
That's going to be some good stuff, James Cusimano.
Oh, I have the book. I should show everybody.
I was going to say, you got a book right there, don't you?
I do, in fact. It's called I Can See Clearly, Rise of a Supernatural Hero.
It's quite the story. There's a bunch to dig into there. And I had a chance to read through. I didn't get all the way to the end, so don't anybody spoil anything. But I'm on the way.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
So I'm excited because Jim has actually succeeded at so many different things that I think this is going to be a perfect situation to discuss success and take lessons from it for the Backpack Show.
Yeah, there's so much. I mean, I'm very curious about the book. I'm very curious about this kind of change, and this is where the focus is going. But I'm also excited just, you know, he's done so many other things. There's such a wealth of career. So you brought a very full to the top person to the world today.
Brought to us by FSB Associates.
Oh, is this how we got this opportunity?
You know it. The best book publicity firm in the business. And I was like, may I please have a copy of this book and talk to him? And they were like, fine, because it's you.
If you want, then, if you're the kind of person who likes FSB Associates, and we both sure are, I need you to know that we're also sponsored by PubSite, pub-site.com. If Jim needed a new website, he could just throw one together super fast because the same people who power PubSite power FSB Associates.
It's so
pub-site.com. It'll take you $20 a month, and it'll take you just a couple hours to throw that thing together. Baby, that thing works. Hey, listen, before we get started talking to another author, our friend Len Joy, award-winning author Len Joy, is promoting his book American Pastime this week specifically. Here is the question. The question is, we would sure really love it if you would come and consider buying this book. He's got it on sale this week. cbrogan.me/LenJ, you know, Len Joy, like that. Come get American Pastime. It is an excellent book, worth reading. Some of our backpackers have already been picking up and reading some Len Joy books. So give this
if you haven't, you should. I have one of his books. It has a permanent place of honor on my bookshelf behind me.
So
Len Joy is an excellent writer. See, wait, there you go. I can never get right. That's Len's book. I keep it there.
Hey, look at that. Death to spring forward.
I know.
I'm with you, John.
I know.
And there's Leslie. Hey, Leslie. Leslie's a Len Joy reader.
I showed Leslie already. Jeez, you're greedy.
Oh, sorry. I was just pushing all the buttons while you were pushing all the buttons. Jim Cusimano maybe becomes the next best favorite. You know, we'll have to see. Let's drag him in and see.
Yes, let's do it.
How are you today, boss?
I'm doing well, but I'm getting hungry.
Heading towards dinner, right? You're in the Maldives right now.
Right.
So we need to know a lot of things, but what makes you switch and decide, I think I'm going to write some books in between doing all the other, you're kind of busy guy, like sitting down to write a book didn't seem like it was on the menu.
Right. Well, it was at the going towards the end of the menu. And the reason I wrote that particular book, I have written a number of books on how to find your balance in life, how to do this, how to do that, how to find your life purpose and things like that. But I decided I wanted to write a book interesting as a novel. This is like an espionage novel with somebody who gets superpowers. But I wanted to weave through the narrative some things that I have learned throughout my life. I've had a number of know a number of professions over the last, I don't want to say how many years. I wanted to be able to do something that would help other people, because my purpose in life now, I've had a number of successes. I really want to take what I've learned and try to help other people, what I've learned. So this is a book that I call Wisdom Fiction, because it's fiction, it's meant to entertain, but woven throughout the book is a number of things that I think are special and can help you live a more fulfilled and happy life.
This does go in a lot of different directions from your past work. I mean, cosmic consciousness, life is beautiful. Right. You've hit on a lot of different topics. To your point, you're throwing together a story arc kind of a thing. What made you want to try this style compared to, you know, books that are more prescriptive, let's say?
Well, the reason I wanted to try this style is because I wanted to try to reach as many people as I can that I believe the message I'm bringing to the fore can help. And I thought, if I write a successful novel that's entertaining, and throughout the book, there's some things that I've learned that would be helpful to them, I could reach a lot more people than, say, a book like I wrote, which is called Balance the Business Life Connection, How to Balance Your Life Professionally and Personally. And that sold well, but this one, I believe, has much greater potential, and it addresses my life purpose. You know, your life purpose changes throughout your life. Your capabilities probably don't very much, but your life purpose does. And my life purpose now is to give something back to the common good. And I think this has a good chance of doing that.
Now, you already are giving back to the public good, because you have a chateau that's also an award-winning spa and hotel. So I know that we're taking a little step sideways off your origin story journey, but I am very excited about going to the Czech Republic someday, and I want to stop by Chateau Mizeli.
I'm very, very proud of it, but I have to tell you up front, my wife Inez is the genius behind it. And if I were to give you my a 5 or 10 minute story about how I went from rock and roll to Chateau Mizeli, I think you would see that there was a number of paths that came about, and where I had to make certain decisions, and I'm very happy with those decisions, even though there were some tough times along the way.
So what I love about that is, even though that's your wife's vision and her dream, she saw this property and felt that it had good energy and potential, you had to be with her on that. That's not something one spouse can do while the other spouse does other things and is not involved. It's very much like a team thing. So what made you go all in on that with her?
Well, let's say it was a consciousness connection, and here's how it happened. My first wife had passed away, and I was living in a small village in Southern California called Ojai near Santa Barbara. And I was trying to think what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I had sold my companies that had been built in Silicon Valley. One was in clean energy, the other in pharmaceuticals. And I really was in a bad state. And fortunately, about a year and a half after she passed away, this lovely woman walked into my house, and her name was Inez. And she was visiting a friend, and she was living in Prague. And I never thought I'd fall in love again, because I had grown kids, a couple of grandchildren, but I did. And she told me, she said, I bought this rundown castle. She had been the CEO of a heritage restoration company that restored old buildings. So she knew what she was doing. And she said, I bought this old castle, and I'm thinking that maybe I could, renovate it. I could make it into something like a yoga center or something like that. And I said, well, I don't know anything about castles. I don't know anything about hotels or yoga centers. Let me come over and take a look at it. And when I went to see it, even though it was completely destroyed at the time, practically, I saw that this woman had a dream. And, we all fall in love with a dream. We all like to be part of a dream. If you've ever met somebody who's doing something so excited, so passionate, you want to find a way to connect with it, to help them. And so I did. We started as business partners, thinking about how to do this, going back and forth between California, where I live, in Ojai, in Prague, and put some plans together. And ultimately, we built that thing. I don't have any pictures for you that show you what it looked like before. It would have scared the hell out of me. But, It turned out to be an award-winning chateau, and we're very proud of it. A little bit tough times right now with the pandemic, but right. We'll get to it. We've got a great team.
And, when I have my vaccine passport, I'll be coming. So save me the. Well,
we'll give you a special treatment. We have the VIP treatment for people we know. We've had a number of very famous people that have come from the United States and other parts of the world, and.
Well, I not one of them, but just give me the same room.
No, we will. We'll give you the VIP. Our thing is to go beyond hospitality. We want everybody who comes in there to leave and say, God, this was really worth it. The food was great. The service was great. And that's why we get all of these comments on TripAdvisor and elsewhere. It's just fun to make people feel good about themselves by going to a place like this.
And there was nothing there, right? It was a empty castle.
Nope. It had been empty for 48 years. The communists at that time in Czechoslovakia had kicked all of the royalty out. And so she bought it from the government, and we turned it into this. And it was quite a hard job to do it. But you know what? It was fantastic to see the response to it. I also have to tell you, that there were some very bright people, developers, who came and saw our plans before we started and said, this will never fly, because we were the first one to build a 5-star luxury castle hotel. That was the initial group. that's my wife in the middle there and my daughter.
Hang on.
My wife on the left and my daughter when she was about, I don't know how old she was at that time, but we were celebrating an anniversary.
Does she hate that picture now? Because my kids all hate the pictures of them when they were little.
My daughter hates every picture of her. And also, she's dyed her hair right now, and she's going through that crazy thing right now. But anyway, she's a great kid, though. I love her. I've got three daughters, and she's the youngest.
Now, what if she decides she wants to start a rock band? are you going to say? You can't really tell her no.
That's not beyond. She's taught herself to play guitar by herself. She's got a voice like... It puts me to shame. I usually do a New Year's Eve. I only sing for charity now. And once in a while, I'll do that for some people on the outside. But every New Year's Eve, I usually do a show at Chateau Mazzelli, and it's usually sold out. Last year, I asked Julia to sing a couple of songs. She got standing ovation, put me to shame. Me and my oldies but goodies from the 50s and 60s.
I want to hit you up and ask you some questions about the band, and then we've got to get right back around to I Can See Clearly. But first, I got to pay some people. So let me put you in a spot. We'll do some sponsor work. Hang tight with us. Don't go anywhere. We are sponsored by Castos. So if you don't want to look at my very attractive face, you don't have to. You can listen to the podcast wherever audio podcasts are played.
They want to look at my face. Maybe
they do, but they haven't figured out a way to just show one face, not the other yet, without booting me.
But a lot of people do, they really prefer audio either because they're going to go to the gym or they're driving or something and it's not safe to watch video. So if you're one of them, we have an audio podcast now. Everywhere there's podcasts, thanks to Castos.com.
So get yourself your podcast hosting at Castos. Hey, do you want a website as cool as the backpackshow.online? I sure do. Go to stevebrogan.me/online. You can get a website for 99 cents. Just use the code Chris. The world will be so much happier for it. You'll pay 99 cents for the first year of owning that site. I think, what else we got? This one, StreamYard. You want to make a show? Use this app. It's pretty good. Seabrogan.me/StreamYard. Did I mention Len Joy's book? American Pastime, Seabrogan.me/Len Joy.
You did. Len Joy is an award-winning sports fiction author. I love his stuff. So Elizabeth, like me, wants to go to Chateau Mazzelli.
Len shows up on Twitch after we did the great ad read early on. He shows up to the stinky.
He'll see it later. You'll see it later, Len.
Watch it in post, Len. That's ad number two for you. All right, I'm grabbing another.
Len probably, you know, today. Len does his workouts in the morning, and so you have to understand he's working us in.
Well, listen, we're between this man and his dinner, so
okay.
The place around here is filthy with authors today. We're going to give Jim Cusimano the stage again. So your book, the new book, is called I Can See Clearly. Now, again, this is half dozen or so books in. You say, I'm going to mix it up a little. I'll tell a story this time. So we've got a story, but this story isn't especially pedestrian. It's about a teenage basketball player, but then after that, it goes a little bit Jason Bourne. You want to talk just a little sketch about this book?
Would you like me to give you a brief sketch on the book?
Yes, a little précis would never hurt.
That'd be great. So This is about a 16-year-old basketball player. He's quite tall, 6'7", and he's a star basketball player for Palo Alto High School, California. And during the last few seconds of a very important championship game, it's a tie score, and he wins the game for the Viking, the Palo Alto school. And as he does that, he gets fouled, serious foul, falls down, and finds out he wins the game for them. He finds out he goes unconscious, and he has basically his appendix broke. He's rushed to Stanford Hospital. He dies for several minutes, but is renewed. And what he has when he's dead, he has near-death experience. And he meets some interesting people. I won't go into the details. But when he comes back, he starts to get paranormal powers, superpowers. And those superpowers, at first, they're kind of interesting. Then they become scary because he's not sure what they're going to do to his life. And the thing that happens is that one of the doctors at Stanford recognizes that he's had a near-death experience and he may be getting some kind of powers. And they do a psychiatrist work on him. And sure enough, there's some things he can do that he's never seen before. For example, the most critical, most interesting one, he can take his consciousness and travel it anywhere and see clearly what's going on and record it in his brain and then spit it out later on when it comes back to the body. Well, the scientist at Stanford that was doing the work was also sponsored by the CIA. So they find out about Luke, the basketball player, and they blackmail him to work for him. And it's how he tries to deal with the CIA. They blackmail him because his father fought during the Iraqi war, and there was an incident that the CIA said he was responsible for, and it would ruin his life and the family's life. In any case, Luke then has to figure out how to deal with the CIA and still do all of this stuff. And it's a story about somebody who has all these powers, and how does he find his life purpose in concert with these life powers to be able to help other people still find his dream?
Well, Jim, you spy on the CIA guys and blackmail them back, obviously.
Well, I won't tell you how he did it.
Don't give it away.
It is a key way to do it. And it has a surprise ending, which I won't say, of course. Right. And it leads to book two. This is book one. And book two is a follow-up on the espionage, which takes him and his colleagues to Russia.
That's such a game changer in the game of espionage. Like, I was thinking every time I've ever watched like a historic, you know, recreation of a battle or something, I'm like, wow, you just need like one semi-automatic and this whole thing changes. This is like that. This is like, forget all the work we do for espionage. We just need one kid that can like, you know.
But you know, there's one thing that I like, because I'm basically from, I grew up in Elizabeth, in Newark, New Jersey, right across from New York City. So I had a lot of relatives in Brooklyn and the Bronx, but one of the characters I put in the story that I really like a lot is a monk who is a Buddhist monk, and he was born in the Bronx, and of Vietnamese parents who were given citizenship because they spied for the U.S. during the Vietnam War. And this monk is incredible. He's very bright. He graduated summa cum laude from Harvard in physics and theology. And he also is all kinds of other things he can do. But he speaks with a real deep Bronx accent. He looks like a monk. He looks like he comes from Asia, but he speaks with a Bronx accent. So it's really kind of cool.
You did a lot. You know, when I took a look into this, I thought something completely different. I expected a very different book just based on looking over your past works. And I was thinking, this is going to be a parable book. I hate parable books. But what you did is you really buried that deeply. You know, you made it. So there's certainly a huge lesson here. This isn't a book for just your entertainment. This isn't Jim Does Superheroes. This is there's meaning there. But you really cover it. you hide the broccoli in the cake really well, because this is a very energetic, the CIA stuff, the, you know, well, it would be terrible if this all came to light suddenly, stuff with the dad. Like, there's a lot to this book. You could read this book not hoping to have a spiritual awakening, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can read it and have a lot of fun, but you can also read it and learn a lot of things about consciousness and the power that we as human beings have within us if we try to access it. One of the things that very few people know is that if you enter an altered state of consciousness, and I believe you want to do that without drugs, you want to do it, let's say, with meditation, there's some very interesting things that you can make happen in leading a fulfilled and more, let's say, happy life. And I try to bring that through, and I don't want to be real preachy at it. So if somebody's interested in following up on more of the details of how to do that, I did something that very few novels do. I put at the back of the book a supplement. That supplement has a lot of information on life purpose, on meditation, on what you can do with altered states of consciousness, and all of that sort of stuff.
And one of the other books you love, and this has actually been a common theme on the show, is The Alchemist. We had Kimberly Dawn, who's a country artist. She was on. She loves that book. And that same day, we had a children's book author, Casey Catalyst, on. And he loves that book, too. So the two of them, both the same day, just happened to both love that book. But you love that book also.
It's actually my favorite book. And I've read it probably three or four times. And if you look at it carefully, between the lines, there are a number of lines there that give some very, very valuable information to people. It's probably one of the best books. It's a fable, of course, but it has super, super information to live a more fulfilled life.
I cannot believe that Carrie left it open, that I could name drop the same story twice. So I had the chance to meet Paulo Coelho in Paris at an event called Le Web. And
wow.
We were just both getting beverages at the same time at this little table. Like, he just looks like any regular person.
Right.
And the room was sort of Queen Rania from Jordan was there. So it was kind of a room where Paolo was just as slubby a regular guy as could also be. So we're talking, and he's saying to me, you know, something about how it's funny how I didn't really treat him with any kind of, you know, awe when he said who he was. And I said, oh, it's because I don't like parable books. and he laughed. He says, no one has ever said that when they've met me. And it turned out we both liked archery. So we talked about archery a little bit later on. And that was it. But now I get to use that story twice. Yes.
I know. So the next time I tell a 30-second story, Chris will be like, it's not like we're running a show here. It's cool. Go ahead, tell your story.
Don't tell that story.
So, Jimmy, I'm the only one who hasn't written a book here. Chris has written 9. As we're hearing, Jim has written quite a few as well, the most recent being I Can See Clearly. So I'll get on it. But you first. Let's do it.
What do you want me to do?
Oh, write a book. I was telling Jimmy to write a book.
Oh, Jimmy in comments.
Jimmy in the comments. I was saying, write a book.
You're talking to Jim Kusumano.
No, he's done plenty of stuff. No, what's interesting about you, Jim, to me, is that you've had all these endeavors. Other people might have been like, well, what a waste of time. Like starting a rock band in your teens. I mean, a lot of people have a garage band, never actually goes anywhere. But not only do you gig, you write songs, you sell songs to other artists. And kind of not very many teenage artists are doing that. So that's already something that most people are like, that's never going to work. And you make it work. Then you have many businesses that you ultimately, you know, in technology that you ultimately sell. You know, you're running a chateau that people were like, that's never going to work. So all these things. And writing a book, as we all know, is not easy. That's the reason I haven't done it, much less writing several books. So what's the secret of your success in all these different areas? How does this work for you?
The secret is you can't write or you can't do anything well unless you've got a passion. Can I tell you the story of how all of this mixture of rock and roll and other stuff came together? It's because it has to do with the fact that every single one of us reaches or let's say meets along the path of our lives what I call giants. These are, Isaac Newton was once asked how did he do so many things, invent calculus, Newton's laws, gravity. He said, I've seen further, I've stood on the shoulders of giants like Galileo and Chrysippus. And so What I feel is all of us get a chance to stand on the shoulders of giants. The only thing we need to do is to recognize them, think about what they have to say, see if it makes sense. Because very often, it's a decision whether you go left or right. Let me give you a couple examples. When I was a kid, I'm the oldest of 10 children. I have 6 sisters and 3 brothers. My father was a postman. My mother was perpetually pregnant for the first 20 years of my life. And so all of us had to work and help out them. And so I didn't like working in the cold New Jersey winters, shining shoes, and delivering newspapers. So my mother said, hey, you've got a good voice. Why don't you take piano lessons and maybe you could start a little combo? And that appealed to me. And so I did that. I took lessons from a band leader that my father knew for free. And he taught me all these tricks on how to play modern music, rock and roll. And started a band. The next thing I knew, I was doing some recording. And the next thing I knew, I was traveling with the likes of Fats Domino, Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry, and basically doing rock and roll and making money to help the family that way. But I also had another love. My father wanted me to be a doctor, and I didn't want to be a doctor. So he bought me a chemistry set for Christmas, and chemistry turned me on. I don't know why. I liked the idea that I could make glue, ink, adhesives, and selling the stuff in the neighborhood. I guess that was an inclination of being an entrepreneur. And so that was the other thing. It was, I fell in love with science, chemistry, and physics. So my father was the giant there. My mother was the giant with entertainment. And that followed me through my life. So I decided, after I'd been a recording artist, I really love science. So that's why I went on and did a PhD in physical chemistry, went to work for Exxon as a research scientist, and then decided I was going to be an entrepreneur. I went out to Silicon Valley, and I did that because some of the giants in my life said, you can do it, even though it was a tough time to do it. And I started 2 companies, which we brought public on the NASDAQ and eventually sold them, one in clean energy, one in pharmaceuticals. And that's when I went back into entertainment, because my wife at the time, my first wife, she was a screenplay writer. She wrote a screenplay for our middle daughter, Polly, who's an actress. She's married, my Polly Cole. She's married to Joe Robert Cole, who wrote the screenplay for The Black Panther. And so she wanted to make this movie, and Paramount wanted the screenplay, but they wouldn't let her direct it. I said, let's start a movie, a company. And I did that. And we made the film in Texas. But unfortunately, 4 weeks before we left, she found out she had stage 4 breast cancer. And she wanted to make the film. But she got it done. She died a month later. And that's when I was sitting there wondering what I was going to do. And I got the darn thing onto Lifetime Television and then in 50 other countries, because I was motivated for my wife's legacy, my daughter, who was an actress in it. And it became quite a good movie, What Matters Most. And now you can buy it on Amazon on video. So there I was sitting a year and a half sad by myself in Ojai, California. And that's when Inez walked into my life. So there are all of these things that happen in your life, and sometimes they seem terrible, but I have to tell you, I have been so, so lucky to be able to pick the right path to go on to the next thing. So I'm basically back in entertainment now with the castle, the Chateau Mazzelli, and writing books to try to help other people. Now, I don't know what my next life will be. Maybe it'll be a Buddhist monk, who the hell knows? But I'm having fun, and the key to answer your question is every one of those I did with passion. I did it because I loved either something I was doing or I loved something that somebody else was doing whom I loved. So it's critical. It's key.
There's so much to it. There's so much to it. I mean, the more we dig with you, the more there's more things. You know, it wasn't just a band. It was a band that had a big world hit and then a bunch of other stuff. You know, you don't seem to do anything half-assed. Have you failed?
Like, what have you failed? Let's see. Have I failed? I don't ever think about failures. I think about them as learning. When something doesn't work, I've had a number of, let's say, failures along the way. Okay, let me give you an example. Just one example. We had our company on pharmaceuticals. We had an investor, And I won't tell you who he is because he's very famous. And he's one of two brothers who are very wealthy in the United States. And I made a mistake of taking his money. I knew it wasn't going to work right, but we needed the money at the time. And he pulled out and left us dry. And I had to let go 20% of the company, which killed me. It broke my heart because many of those people were friends we had hired. They were great working people. But I learned something from that. You never lie down with dogs because you wind up coming up with fleas. And that was the mistake. And so you do make mistakes. Somehow we recovered. And one of the nice things about that story is I would say 70% of the people that we had to let go, when we made it, we came back and we were getting strong. Pfizer Pharmaceuticals put $20 million into our company. When we started to make it, all of those people came back to work for us. And that, you know, I could cry when I think about it. It was so fantastic. But those were tough times. And you have to do things. And you look yourself in the mirror and you say, look, if I don't do this, everybody's going to go. The people who suffered the most were the people who stayed at our company, Catalytic Pharmaceuticals, not the ones we let go, because they knew that they had their job had been saved and their friends had to go. So, yeah, we had some failures along the way, but none of them were fatal. None of them were fatal.
What a massive difference between the JamesCusumano.com website and the Jim the Alchemist website. I want to talk about that because it is clear that you've been on a bit of a journey. And, you know, yeah. Your whole life's been a journey. But I feel like a corner was turned somehow. What happened?
Yeah.
What brought us to the stars and back? You didn't play basketball. You didn't code on the table. The CIA isn't after you right now, I don't suspect. So what happened? What made you this new Jim?
One of the things that made me this new Jim is that about 20 years ago, slowly but surely, I started studying the effects of consciousness. And the reason I was interested in that is because when I was in graduate school doing my thesis, part of it involved quantum physics. And I became interested in the connection between quantum physics and consciousness, trying to understand how does it work? Where does it come from? How can you use it? And slowly but surely, I began to make friends with people like Deepak Chopra and other folks who are involved with this kind of thing. And I learned more and more, and I began to put the science together with it. And that's how I began to turn the corner. So that I now consider myself an alchemist. I'm an alchemist because I'm trying to put things together that will make this a better world. And I get my highs by doing that. I'm excited to do that. And when I get somebody who calls me or corners me or sends me an email and says, you know, one of your books really changed my life, you couldn't give me $1 million and it would do something better than that. When I know that I have changed somebody else's life for the better, it just gives me a gratefulness and a fulfillment that I can't put into words. So that's how I changed the corner. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm so excited about. And that's why I want to do a book two, a book three, and hope that I can build, you know, the other thing I want to do, my son-in-law, as I mentioned, was the screenplay writer, and he's the director and producer for the Black Panther, which was a huge success. One of the things I would like him to guide me on is trying to get to Amazon or Netflix to begin to get I Can See Clearly into a miniseries. If I can do that, I know it's a long shot. If I can do that, that would just be fantastic.
What about things, like how do you bring out in other people what you see in them? Like you see potential, you know they could be successful. They're not there yet. How do you coax them along? Like what does it take?
Yeah, there are two things that hide from us what our potential is. And one of those is fear. That puts a fog in front of us so you can't see the reality of who you really are. And the other is, let's say, an excessive desire for things that really don't benefit you, physical things in life that don't benefit you. And I could say drugs, sex, excessive things that you can buy and that sort of thing. So I try to help them with balance. you know, there's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with getting promoted and getting recognized. However, the one leg of the stool, of that three-legged stool, that's much more powerful is purpose. And if you can find your purpose, and I absolutely know this. I don't just believe it. I know it. I believe that everyone, the three of us here, everyone that you've ever met, comes into this world with what I call essence. It's something that they're really good at. And I'm not talking about a profession, but something that they're really good at. And what they need to do, what we all need to do, is to think about, what am I really good at? And without thinking about what's my job going to be. And once you find out what you're really good at, the next step is quite hard. But if you stick to it, it pays off well. And that is, how do I take what I'm really good at and I connect it with a need in the world that makes the world even just a little bit better? You can't imagine when you do that. I guess you can imagine. You probably have done this. The emotion, the energy, the emotional and physical energy that you get, you may forget to eat. You may forget to go with very little sleep. And when you get that emotional energy and that physical energy, the left and right side of your brains, that those two hemispheres connect, and you get really creative because you've got the passion and you're able to solve problems that you never thought you could solve before. I've gone through this. I've done it. And you're able to innovate. And when you innovate, when you do something innovative, you get a reward. And that reward may be financial, may be physical, it may be spiritual, it may be emotional, or some combination. And when you get that reward, you feel an immense sense of gratefulness. You're just so grateful. It's like me talking about somebody telling me I've helped change their life. And that gratefulness gives you a sense of fulfillment. And if I were to say, what are two things that can help change this world for the better? Because there are a number of potential problems that we face that are really, really serious, and you know what they are. I think if more people find their life purpose, it will create more inspirational leaders, more happy people, and we'll be able to solve a lot of these so-called problems. And these are problems that some of them are existential threats, like pandemics, climate change, nuclear proliferation. I think all of this can be dealt with. The more people that find their life purpose, the happier they are, and it spits out more inspirational leaders. God knows we need them in politics. We need them in industry. And if we had more of those, these things would begin to go away.
You're in the Maldives, so you are not opposed to getting away from it all for a little bit. You are certainly a person who takes his relaxation seriously, which I'm presuming isn't exactly James Cusimano over the years. I would assume that 35-year-old James did not have a lot of meals at a family table. I have a feeling there was a lot of, you know, donut on the way to the office, you know, kind of moments in your life. I just want to, you know, you've already done travel. I want to know time travel now. You go back and you tell, you know, 26-year-old James what he needs. What do you have now?
Well, let me tell you the absolute truth, because you're right. And I wrote a book called Balance the Business Life Connection several years ago on how to balance your professional and personal life. Really tough. But it took me quite a few years to learn that, because I was going out the door with two donuts in my hand and a cup of coffee in the other hand. And my kids were saying, I think you're my dad. Are you my dad? And, you know, I did go through that in Silicon Valley building companies, but I learned over the years that if I balanced my life, I could work less time and get more done. And it's hard to sell that, really hard to sell it, but you can, you absolutely can. And in that book, I try to show people how you can balance your life, how you can do it and get more done and still follow your own values, whatever they are. And I think it's critical. And that's not an easy thing to do, Chris. You've got to stay with it all the time. It's not something you say, well, I'm going to put this plan together and now I'm okay. You got to look at it every day, every week, month. But you know what? If you live a balanced life, someday when they lay you down and you're about to go to the other side, wherever the other side is, you'll say, you know, I kind of like what I did. I left some good things behind. And that's what everybody wants, because I have found out in all of these years of working, every single human being that I know that's healthy, mentally healthy, they want to make a difference. They want to make a difference in the world. They want to do something that helps someone. They may not say that, but you dig down deep. They want to make a difference. That's what I want to do. That's what I always wanted to do. I just didn't know it when I was young, when I was eating those donuts, drinking coffee, and working, God knows how many hours, billable hours for a week. It was crazy. But I eventually learned, and I eventually, things worked out for me eventually.
Kate, this, and everyone, this link is case sensitive. So capital S, capital C will bring you right to James's latest book. So go get some.
And it's time now for...
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
Like I said, person of the day comes around from who knows where. I'm going to give it to Annette today because she loved this blessed life story for pure motivation and the power of love. Oh. Very much an Annette Mason kind of story. Although I was going to point out too, and you probably shared it already, but Steve Garfield had already said this would be a good Joseph Jaffe show. You knew exactly which one.
Yep. You give it to Steve for helping other people poach our guests.
Yeah, you know.
We love it. Yeah, because that's the whole, actually, the whole idea. Actually, we choose our guest roster. We're looking for people we haven't seen on all the other business shows. It's like the same, you know, whatever, 50 people that go in regular rotation. So we purposely go outside, well outside that roster. So we love when other people within the circle pick up those guests because we want them to be amplified.
Come get them.
Yeah, come get them.
So the last thing I have to ask you, James Cusimano, is this question we've asked every single guest. And I know that you're heading to dinner, so this could be a, you know, your belly might drive this answer. But the question is, what goes in your backpack? And that could be something physical, like an avocado. It could be something metaphorical, like hope. Carrie, what's a great physical thing that could go in a backpack?
A book you hate, because eventually you'll read it and learn something from it if it's the only book available to you.
Do you know any good metaphorical ones we could add, Carrie?
Fearlessness.
I'm sorry, Carrie. Good.
Fearlessness.
I'm buying you time.
He's giving you ideas. He sounds like he doesn't need any time.
Oh, okay. How about steak tartare and a bottle of red wine? No.
That's two things.
I would say the one thing that would go in my backpack is something that's very precious to me. I have a small book, not that small, where I write little notes. Things that either a subject that I want to write about later on or something that somebody said to me that I thought was really cool and I never want to forget it. And the book is about 200 pages, something like that. And it goes back quite a few years. I would want that book to go in my backpack so that I could sit under an oak tree and remind myself of the lessons I've learned from people who are much brighter than I.
Well, that sounds about as ideal as everything else you've brought into this world so far, James Cusimano. I release you back to the world and everybody else for you. I could tell that this is the kind of story that my grandmother would love, probably because she would love to talk to you about what the steak tartare business is. And she was a great, great cook, but my goodness, did she think that the best way to cook a steak was dead one time even?